DIY or Die, Budapest Beneath the Surface. Directed by Lucia Udvardiova. Sound design by Mate Elot Yankee.
Seems to me quite tragic, though, in this, that in spite of all the changes, the differences between Eastern Europe and Central and Western Europe persist. So, you know, the political dividing lines are exactly like they were, say, in 1980 or in 1930. And there's no great desire or confidence in any sort of freer society. But we are in Budapest, where, of course, there's a majority for the opposition, the only place. It's quite general. I mean, look at Prague, look at Bratislava, look at Warsaw. The difference between town and country persisted. Well, it was the same thing in the 18th century. I mean, not much is changing in this respect. And that's very sad, really. That's very sad. So, you know, I have a daughter who is 17. I mean, she lives a life that she could live in Berlin. And then you go 30 kilometers out of Budapest, and then you can lead a life you would lead in Moscow. So, or worse. They were really, the government camp has indeed done everything they could to preclude the autonomy of institutions. You know, nobody would have thought that anybody can really ban the Hungarian Academy of Sciences and reform the universities in a way that, you know, fake foundations steered by influential figures of the official right will put an end to the autonomy of the universities. And there's a whole system of state financing of the arts and of culture and of scientific research that is really not niggardly. They are paying a great deal, but of course mostly people on the right can benefit, or people who are prepared to shut up about political problems. And you can indeed observe that, unlike in other East European countries, intelligentsia is mostly silent in public affairs. Of course, everybody knows that people are disgusted and they don't like the system, and mass emigration of young intellectuals is, you know, quite frightening. So I know, I mean, my young friends are just, you know, everywhere. So it's a very, very sad, very, very scared situation, and And of course, some people are still stubborn and trying to do various things here for a while. But most people think that there's no point in making sacrifices. I mean, people who would be able and willing to make sacrifices, but their reasonable evaluation of the situation is such that they don't feel that it makes any sense to destroy their lives for nothing.
Buongiorno, my name is Biro Marzi. I don't know, I'm a random guy from around. Right now we are in La Maggiore Radio Studio, which is a community radio in Budapest, and the radio itself is in the complex of Kazan Community House, which is sort of like a conjoined twin of Goya, which is a cooperative run community house / venue, bar and whatnot that I work at for the past 6 years. Our aim is to somehow have a work space where everybody has their own things that they do, but everybody works the same amount of money for, say, the same amount of work for the same amount of money, and everybody should be a member of the cooperative. And at the end of the day, we try to stay afloat with a very different working method and community structure implemented in, like, present-day capitalist world, so to say. For many, many years, we tried to network and find actual existing cooperatives, because as the cooperative movement has one very, very strong principle that if you do a cooperative needs to work together. And we tried to find a bunch of cooperatives. It was really hard. And at the end of the day, we just built our own network of like-minded people, started to see, like gray areas and, that blind spots in the Hungarian, fair social, economic space, which didn't really exist. And that's what most of the people in the building are trying to build. We're trying to be very self-sufficient in terms of getting food from farmers, like, without any middleman. We have a kindergarten inside for like-minded parents who are not really relying on the educational system at the moment. We also have a gym in the building, because working out and doing sports together is more fun. We have this radio, for instance. We have a communal workshop next to us for ceramics, silk screening, and a bunch of other stuff. And we also host a leftist news agency in, like, most likely the only one in the country right now, probably outside. Try to push people into thinking about why we are here right now at the moment and what the exit from the whole squirrel wheel could be.
Independence, not only in the past, but more and more in this time now. You know, maybe we show a kind of a way how you can still make your stuff without depending on the government or something like governmental money. But I don't believe that exists, because all of the money is not fraud. It's not. The government's money is the people's money. So anyway, the people who are watching our movie and coming out from the cinema, like in Marseille or Paris or Belgrade or anywhere, they are always telling us there is something which set them free, or I don't know, like during watching the movie. So many people said that we gave back the hope. There is hope in the cinema, because, you know, many times it's a kind of boring narratives, and, you know, like film music tells what you feel and a lot of things. I wanted to play with these thoughts, and also about the narratives, if it's not like Hollywood stuff, you know, and because the human brain is a miracle. So if there is a story which has kind of holes, or it's not very clear, you know, your brain starts to structure it. In the reality, we also have to live like watching reality as a dream. So there is not a big difference. Or there are not a big differences. The English is like that.
I always felt it's a little, like, I live in a periphery, but I still would like to belong to the cultural scene of Europe, and I'm not saying that to the western side of Europe, but still to somehow engage with countries outside of Hungary. And like, I always felt that my English is pretty bad, and when I start to talk with the natives, or even if I if I'm dating with the native English speakers, I felt like I'm an outsider. That's how our song Eastern European Accent was inspired. It was for me shocking to experience how the musical scene is still very patriarchal, because in the art scene, I think most of the curators are women, so I was also socialized among female professionals, and I didn't really feel that like I have any, there's like a lot of downsides of being a woman in this profession. Or maybe I was just very lucky that I never really encountered major issues. But in the musical scene, when we started the band, we met some wonderful Hungarian female musicians to ask some advice from them, because we had no experience in making music because we just started it. And all of them told us that, oh, I can't even play the guitar, and I'm not a real musician anyway. So it was really interesting to see how these wonderful musicians think they are not professional.
The music scene is also like heavily like influenced with this like political climate, the so-called like counterculture or underground like doesn't really functioning the way how it's supposed to function, I guess, because you know, we have like chances to open this discussions about like topics or kind of unite and articulate problems, but it seems like that we're just like keep on losing these opportunities to find a voice for ourselves. It's just somehow the music scene, like this underground, so-called underground, looks like it's a group of people based on more like formal cliches than like actual like values or morals. Like we're just losing venues, we are using like you know, like chances to stay open, and as how like the government are getting more and more involved in these venues, like how they are like changing the city's structure and infrastructure, it seems for me that it's just like it. Many people don't really find these tendencies as problematic as for example myself.
Why do you think it is the case? Why do you think there's no more resistance or protest?
I guess it's just the reason why we don't really have like this resistance, because I guess we don't really have any tradition in these like civil kind of, you know, civil rights movements or like democracy in general. So we have this like socialist, communist heritage, and it seems like people are really like bringing this like conformist attitude with them, or like learning it from previous generations. And for me, it seems like it's because nobody really cares or care about like about the big picture. Everybody is more about, you know, just try to protect their own like conform and lifestyle and level of lifestyle. So yeah, that's why I mentioned that it's this scene centered around like stylistic choices more than like actual like values, you know, like the underground or like even like dance music is coming from, it has like a rich tradition with like involving and like protecting minorities and presenting like counterculture and all these like values, and we're just like losing all that, and what will like stay at the end is just really just like the structure or a form of certain like genres or like, yeah, like formalistic clichés, certain like genres or like
Well, what you experience, so I'm like a pragmatic person, so what I go through, that's what I work with, that's what I deal with, and in this sense it can be a very mixed thing, from politics to religion to personal, or even psychedelic experiences or whatever. Nowadays, like, it's mostly looking mostly inside, as inside as you can, and from that point of view, seeing the others and the outside world. So the first step is always to look inside. We don't really like when it's very fragmented, you know, being part of the professional art scene only with, you know, visual artists or like that, and like the other part is like the music. So we don't like to separate it. We like to, or like to bring it together somehow. So, and we had the chance to do these kind of parties in this place where we are, where we have our studio. It's called Art Quarter Budapest, and it's, I think it became an important part in the city, being like one of the last independent bigger institutions. Like, I mean, when we started around 2006, that's when I came out of the university being a painter, like the whole institutional system and the whole funding system was very different, of course. Before the Orban government, everything seemed a little bit more easier, so we kind of like saw like a linear pathway, you know, where you do this and then you get that and you go there and then you go there. But then that changed radically after 2010, and because everything was kind of like distracted in my point of view, and it became harder and harder to get support and get chances to work in places or with people or whatever. And because of our practice, that we were dealing with political topics a lot, and we became a little bit like, you know, these dark sheep, I think, in this sense. But I think it gave us so much more energy and so much more creativity and so much more. So we couldn't get lazy, you know, and that's good, I think. And we met so many really amazing people who, like, you know, you just have to do it anyway. You just have to go and just do it. I mean, wherever you can.
DIY or Die, Budapest Beneath the Surface. Featuring Gáspár Miklós Tamás, Matt Sibiro, Nándor Heversi, a.k.a. Ivan Buaro, Andy Shosh, Gabor Kovács, a.k.a. Wee Bala, Leila Lawrence. Directed by Lucia Udvardiova. Sound design by Mate Elod Yankee. co-produced by Norient and Goethe Institute.
Hello, this is the bonus talk of Time Zones Budapest episode, co-produced by Norient and the Goethe Institute. Let me introduce you our guests, Lucia Udvardiova, who's been investigating the Eastern Central European cultural underground as a journalist and co-founder of Eastern Days. She's also co-running the Baba Vanga label, focusing on experimental electronics, mostly of the same region. And by the way, she's the public relations responsible of SHAPE, a European Union-funded platform for emerging musicians. Lucia produced the Time Zone episode about Budapest. On my other side, we have Balázs Pándi, drummer and former promoter with roots and formative years in metal and punk music, but with lots of international collaborations in the experimental and improv jazz field, projects with Marzbo, KG Haino, Mats Gustafsson, Thurston Moore, just to name some. He's a media worker himself at Telex, one of the leading news portals in Hungary. My name is Christian Puska, and thank you guys for coming. So in the following roughly 10 minutes, we'll try to discuss a little further the issues heard in the Budapest episode, inevitably the general disillusionment in the 12 years of Orbán's Viktor's hybrid regime, a heavy burden, which seems to cause more and more burning out and escapism, not just in Hungarian society in general, but underground art and music scenes that's supposed to be critical and, let's say, radical. Balázs, does it get more difficult as a musician to get things done in Hungary if you don't make compromises with the official structures and institutions?
I think the harder part is that that now that they kind of, with the emerging of the House of Music, I think now there's like a, they made a frontier within the already fragmented and small music scene, and now people who used to work together or at least were fine with each other are now facing each other, which I think is a really weird situation, and they created a really weird space to even exist individually as a musician, because now you're facing questions, because before you just did everything for your own, and now you have the possibility to work in a different environment or work more professionally, maybe try new things because now you can have a budget or a possibility, but then you're facing the question of, okay, do I really want to do this? For me, the breaking point was really when I read the opening speech of Orbán at the House of Music, and I found that really disturbing and something that I personally don't want to associate myself with. Yeah.
So the Budapest episode opens with a general broader introduction and problem, historical problems and backgrounds, and also dark perspective given by Tamás Gáspár Miklós, the acclaimed leftist philosopher, who is on the other side, has a pretty bad opinion about Hungary's intellectuals and musicians for not acting as real opposition. Lucia, was it your original plan to start the episode with him to give this basic narrative?
I think it was a personal choice as well, because I actually, when I first started coming more to Budapest, that was when I was sort of investigating the national rock scene of Hungary, and I also did an interview with TGM, as his acronym is, and I thought, why not revisit it? And when I started to work on this episode, that was around the time of the elections, April, May, actually, so that was something current, and but I also didn't want it to be just bleak and depressing, so I wanted to, there's a little bit of hope in the, let's say, in some of other protagonists, what they say, like
Goya, who are doing their own thing, very independent and this sort of DIY ethos, and or Lorenz Lilla, who's also talking about how you just have to, as an artist, you just have to get on with it and work in any, you sort of basically adapt, you work in whatever you have. And and Uibala is also somebody who that was something that came, that he's decided to leave. So that was kind of like, some of it was a conscious decision, some of it was people who I knew and who I was curious to hear their opinions.
A lot happened in Hungarian politics since the episode was recorded, and the question is it frustrating that you continuously have to reflect the last Orban speech or whatsoever when you talk about your scene? And also, is it possible to talk about the city's underground music and art scene without mentioning politics in Hungary, especially in a city that is in opposition?
I think you can. It's inevitable to talk about politics. An important thing is that where do you draw the line, how far you go. I think you have to talk about it. I on a personal level, I just learned not to go as far to ruin my day or night or whatever. And I try to know as much as possible. I mean, I partly work as a journalist, so I have to. But it's also, it's really important the main thing the main reason why the current system is so successful is because the everyday people are fighting, and they oppose each other in such a strong way that this is what kind of feeds, this is the energy that Fidesz is feeding off. So I think it's important to rather to step back a bit, be conscious, be aware about things, so you know what to do when you have to make decisions. But I think it's more important to talk about other things as well.
Lucia, you mentioned, since you recorded the episode, that Uibala left the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if does it come to your mind to leave the country at all? Is it a perspective for you, any of you guys?
To me, it's not an existential question like it is for a lot of people. And, you know, I cannot vote. So for me, it's like I feel like I have not much right to sort of... I can only comment as an observer, maybe somewhere from behind. But for me, it's a question of, yeah, like how long I will be away more than here. But it's maybe more a question for Balázs, I think, yeah.
I don't know. I feel that I was born here for a reason, and my identity as a Hungarian is absolutely 100% cultural based. So, for me to be able to go to certain museums or just to walk around the streets and pass my favorite poet's house all the time, that's something that I don't want to give up. You know, so. No, for me it's never. And also the thing is, as a musician, I toured all over the world: Japan, Canada, U.S. many times, Russia, every European country, pretty much. And this is the only place where I feel home. And I have way too many people to leave behind. So, and politics is shit everywhere. If you stay there, everybody is blown away by Japan. Japan is way more right-wing than Orban, you know? So you know, to go, like, I mean, it's a beautiful country and I love it and I have friends there and I love the food and the culture and everything, but to stay there, it would be insane. Like, it would be total hell.
And right now seems like, well, apart from politics, the main issue is going to be survival in a very serious financial crisis that approaches the country. Do you think Budapest Underground and its spaces and venues are prepared and are trained for that?
I don't know, because even they don't know. I mean, I'm in touch with a lot of people because I'm friends with a lot of people who run places, and everybody is waiting for the first bills to come in. Everybody is holding their breath and opening the envelope, most likely with in horror, to find out because nobody knows as of now how much it will cost to heat up a space, to run an amplifier. I mean, some of the venues are running as power plants, So it's really the only thing. Everybody is uncertain about the future.
Thank you guys for joining me in this quick talk, and all of you out there for listening. Our bonus track comes to an end now. Well, to sum it up, we can say that you can't avoid talking about politics when you talk about Budapest, but there is so much more beyond that. Living and creating in Budapest Underground becomes more and more about emotional and existential survival, either if you make compromises with the governing structure or you go on continuously building and rebuilding from scratch in the shadow of a financial collapse. Well, good luck, everybody. This was the bonus talk of Time Zone Budapest podcast, co-produced by Norient and the Goethe Institute. Bye. Ah!